Thank you very much. It's really exciting to see so many people here for a program that we've been working on for quite some time on religious, medical, ethical, and legal perspectives on the end-of-life issues. And this is a collaboration not only with the university and all the schools on this campus, but also with the Institute for Jewish Continuity. Just 1 second to find my slides. Okay. I thought we would start with a historical perspective on death. I think that if you look at throughout mankind, death was relatively a short-lived event. The individual who was dying would be on his deathbed, as you can see here, surrounded by friends, family, healers, physicians, and members of the faith-based community. But really, the role of all of these people was to try and comfort the patient, try and comfort the family, and perhaps try and comfort each other. But there were no opportunities for most of our history to intervene in that process. And again, another example of a scene of a very famous individual, the death of the wife of Darius III, a Persian emperor, passing away. Again, very short time period, and there were no real issues with regard to medical ethics and end-of-life issues. And this really has been a very recent phenomenon for us to really be concerned about this. This I've taken from a TEDMed talk that I recently heard by Peggy Batten. This is George Washington on his deathbed. George Washington passed away in 1799, so just about 200 years ago. And you can see through the view of the artists, nothing has changed. He's surrounded by friends, family, physicians, and the faith-based community. But George made the mistake of going out to visit his fields on a very rainy day and developed some sort of upper respiratory tract infection. And one of the most powerful people in the world died within 2 days. And that's really been the history of death and dying. But fast forward, over the past century, we have made such incredible progress in the science of medicine that we have actually changed the paradigm of death, dying, and end-of-life issues. So in this panel here, this is really historically how death has looked. Relatively sudden. You're healthy, you got sick, and unfortunately you died. But we have made incredible inroads. And you can see that these timelines are stretching out with cancer, with organ failure, for instance, heart failure, and just old age. This process has become prolonged. We have opportunities as physicians to intervene, and we do intervene. And we are focused as physicians on the science of medicine, on trying to prolong life, on trying new technologies, new techniques, new medications to see what we can do to prolong life. But we also are beginning to realize that in doing this, there are many, many members of our community who can and should perhaps play a role in end-of-life issues. And that's what we hope to address today in this program. Rabbi Silver first approached me in the summer of 2013, so if any of you were wondering how long does it take to put a program like this together, a long time. And Rabbi Silver had the idea for this conference, and it was really grounded on his experiences dealing with ethical issues at the end of life among his congregation. At the same time, at the School of Medicine and the Medical Center, we were also interested in addressing the convergence of a number of issues that sometimes contribute to suboptimal end-of-life care. And I've listed some of these for you. The general public avoids thinking about death. The average individual lacks education about end-of-life options. Healthcare providers are perhaps more focused on the science of medicine and lack the education and training about palliative care, end-of-life care. There are lots of myths. Communication is not always good when we get to end-of-life issues. Healthcare is also somewhat fragmented these days, with more and more specialists getting involved, and lack of clarity of who's actually in charge of the patient, who's going to help make the decisions. And finally, we recognize that there are many, many other healthcare professionals and members of the faith-based community that can play a role so that we can make sure that end-of-life care is as optimal as it can be. When planning today's program, we believed an interprofessional approach to this topic and program was necessary. Multiple professions are involved with patients and families across the lifespan from the process of birth through the process of death. And I think it's important to get an interprofessional group together like this because we need to understand each profession's perspective and appreciate how each contributes to care. Learning with, about, and from each other informs our individual practice and our collective potential for delivering great patient care. Healthcare is increasingly delivered as an interprofessional team by our healthcare provider. Education is still separated. So we need venues like this to bring together the faith-based community, the social workers, the nurses, the pharmacists, the physicians, even the attorneys. We need everyone to come together for an exchange of ideas. And we really hope that at the end of this day, you know, we will appreciate what each one of us can bring to the table and recognize that end-of-life care really shouldn't happen 24 hours before the end of life. That there are opportunities for weeks and perhaps even months as a person suffers with a medical issue. And so that's our goal for today's program. So before I turn it over to Rabbi Silber, I want to take one moment and thank a very large number of people who played a role in making this happen today. They're all listed on this slide, so I won't read through the names. I hope that I did not leave anybody off. But many, many people, many schools participate in the program, and we really appreciate everybody's input to make this a successful program. Now, at this point, I'd like to call Rabbi Silber up to the podium. Rabbi Silber, who's responsible for getting this program started, is the rabbi of Suburban Orthodox Toras Chaim Synagogue. It's one of the larger Orthodox synagogues in Pikesville. And he is also the director of the Institute for Jewish Continuity. So, Rabbi Silber, if you would please come up, and we will begin our program today. And thank you very much for your attention.